Good evening, everybody. We're glad of your presence with us. I want to thank you for coming along to the gospel service this Sabbath evening. We're turning to the hymn 370 as we commence the meeting. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. So hymn 370, please, and we'll stand together as we sing. Hungering and thirsting, to seek the Lord's face together as we come before him just at the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in the attitude of prayer. We ask that the Holy Ghost will come down now upon our lives. We would pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. As we come to the gospel service tonight, we recognize, Father, our own need, our emptiness, our weakness. We pray for the fullness of God. We plead now for the fullness of thy Spirit. We ask, Father, that that will be the experience, the portion of every child of God in this meeting tonight. We want to pray, Father, that the Holy Ghost will rest upon this meeting from the very beginning, right through the service and every part. We pray, Father, that there might be a double portion of your Spirit, especially upon the preaching of the gospel in this house tonight. We want to pray that the Spirit will come and speak, that the Holy Ghost will come and apply the word. We pray that he might strive upon hearts in this service, especially, Father, those not saved, those who are not right with thyself. It is our prayer, Father, that a work will be done for God in this meeting. We pray that business might be done for eternity. We ask, Father, for this little while, as we're gathered in thy house, that you'll take from us all the thoughts of this world and of this life, and all the business of this world, even, Father, all the matters that lie before us in this new week. We want to pray, Father, that for this time that our thoughts might be fixed upon eternity, that we'll be taken up with spiritual and eternal things. We pray, Father, that some in this meeting that are not saved will be brought to that place where they think of their soul, the need of their soul, especially in the light of God's great eternity. We praise thee, Father, for the words that we have been singing together this evening. We rejoice in this lovely gospel hymn. Thank you for it, the old, old story of Jesus and his love. We pray, Father, that that story will come at our hearts again tonight with freshness and with power. We want to pray, Father, that as the message of the gospel goes forth in this service, that it might please thee to use it. We pray that you'll speak through the word. We think of the solemn message to be brought in the service tonight. We pray for the help of God. We pray, Father, that you will come and be gracious to lost souls in the meeting and in our family circles. We're mindful of those that are listening in, even in the live stream of this gospel service, as the message goes out across the community and even into other lands. We do praise thee, Father, for the technology available to the church, for its ministry in these days, that even lengthens our cords and strengthens our stakes, that gives a ministry that extends far beyond this city and even far beyond this community. We pray that we might hear, Father, even of how those messages are being used and how you're speaking through them. We're mindful tonight of those that have gone forth from this congregation to serve thee in other lands. Our prayer is that you might be with them. They'll be conscious of your presence. We remember, Father, the great assurance of the Lord Jesus, lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. And Lord, we're asking that every faithful missionary will know the presence of Christ, be comforted by it, especially, Father, those from our own church. We're mindful of our sisters returned to the field there in Asia, the near to her as she settles in to that work again, mindful of the special meetings taking place there, those youth meetings in this incoming week, the visitors that have gone out to minister at them. We thank you for journeying mercies granted. Give them liberty as they preach the word. We pray it will be the means of building up the believers there, especially the young folk, in the things of God. We remember the gardeners tonight and the halls right in that land down under, there in Australia. Oh God, be near to them. We think of their Sabbath day past, even entered into another day. But we're thinking, Father, of the ministry of your word in both of those churches that is taking place on the Lord's day. Our cry is that it will bear fruit. We pray that you'll sustain these two brethren and their families. We pray they'll be encouraged, even in that far off land, that far country. May their hands be strengthened. May there be those there to fellowship with and encourage them in their labours. We pray that those works will be built up and increased. We ask that souls will be saved in those land, in that land that is dark spiritually. We pray, Father, that you'll bring in a people that is a hunger and an ear for the word of God. And Lord, as we pray for these folk that have gone forth, our cry is that you'll send others, even from our midst. We think of that line in the hymn that we have just sung, of many that have never heard of Christ, never heard the message of the gospel. Lord, may that impress upon our hearts. Give us a deep burden. We pray for the nations of the earth, the harvest fields. Enable us to lift up our eyes and look in those fields and see they're white already to harvest. Call forth, Father, some of our young people to give their lives in the service of Christ, the missionary work of the church. We're mindful, Father, even of conflicts tonight taking place across the earth. We pray for the situation in the Middle East. We cry for peace. We pray for an end to that conflict. Lord, we pray for the hand of God to be upon those matters, the intervention of God, even at this time. We pray for events to take place that might bring that strife to a speedy conclusion. And Lord, we're not unmindful of the situation ongoing even in the Ukraine, the great needs that are there. And Lord, we cry for peace to be brought to conclusion. We think of even how long that conflict has continued. Remember, the Savior told us that this age between his ascension and his return would be marked by things such as wars and rumors of wars. And we have, Father, evidence all around us of the truthfulness of your word. So, Lord, hear our prayers and our cries tonight. Abide with us in the gospel service. We plead for guidance. We ask for wisdom. We pray for utterance, especially in the preaching of the gospel. We pray all these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Hymn 307, please. 307, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. The verses 1, 3, and 5, the hymn 307, and we're keeping our seats. We'll remain seated as we sing, please.
Against that day, I know not why this man.
Matthew chapter 12, please. There's a wee high note or two there at the end, but you all did very well. So Matthew chapter 12, we're going to read together just a section of this chapter of God's Word. We're beginning to read at the 22nd verse. Matthew 12 and verse 22. As is spoken about the Saviour, it says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We're closing just there. The end of the 37th verse, praying the Lord will follow with his blessing the public reading of his word. We want to thank you all for your attendance tonight. We're glad to see each one that has gathered with us. We appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate very much your support of all the meetings and of the gospel service here tonight. We pray that you'll know the Lord's presence. We pray that your heart will be warmed. And we pray that you'll be blessed and that God will bless tonight in our midst the preaching of his word. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you into the meeting. We see our sister Gillian, and we're thankful for her presence with us tonight. And any that are visiting in the service, we pray that you'll be encouraged, especially through the fellowship and the ministry of God's word. It's good to have the children and the young people. We want you to know that we're always glad to see you at the meetings, and we pray that you'll know the Lord's presence as well and hear his voice and be taught in the things of the Lord. And we take a moment too to welcome those that are watching. We're glad of all that watch our services, the broadcasts on the live stream. We're encouraged by that. We do invite you, if you live in this city or community, to come along to the regular Lord's Day services and to join with us. Remember, please, the activities in the will of the Lord through the week. Tomorrow morning at 10 is the parent and toddler group in the church hall. Do make that known and encourage others to come. Billy and Fred are going out to do a little bit of outreach tomorrow morning as well. Remember the brethren, especially pray for them and the literature that goes forth as well. 7:30 tomorrow night, the church committee is meeting downstairs in the church hall, so just remind the brethren of that. Tuesday at 6:45, both the children's bright hours back again after the break, following the half-term school holidays. So the meeting here in the church hall and then down in the band hall in Killaloe. Wednesday at 8 is our prayer meeting and Bible study. We emphasise the importance of that. I hope to be here to lead and speak at that meeting myself, and we encourage you to come and join with us. We invite others that haven't been out at that midweek, maybe for some time, to come along as well. We were really encouraged by your presence with us. Friday night at 8 is the youth fellowship, and the speaker this week is Hannah Carson. Next Lord's Day, then, the 12th of September, Remembrance Sunday, we'll be down at the cenotaph for the laying of the wreath, the service there at 11, to do that on behalf of the congregation, then back up here for the morning meeting. The Sunday School and Bible classes at 10:40, our meeting's 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. The evening meeting will be our annual remembrance service, so there will be an act of remembrance that will be observed. Invite others to come, especially those that would be interested, have a desire to be present for that remembrance service. Take it as an opportunity to encourage them to come to the gospel meeting to hear the word of the Lord being preached. I hope to be here to preach at both of those meetings myself. And do please remember the prayer meetings half an hour before both meetings. Monday week, that's Monday the 13th. At 7:30 is the next meeting of the Kirk session of the church, the session meeting in the minister's room of the church. Remember the Radio Star broadcasts. That's every Wednesday afternoon at 3. I'm bringing the messages again for this month of November, and we value your prayers very much for that, and pray for the Lord to bless and to speak through all of those broadcasts. Remember, please, the literature that we mentioned to you this morning. Keep in mind the latest Vision magazine. There is the picture of the ordination of our three elders back in the month of June. And if you look at one of the mission board articles near the end, there's a picture. You'll see some members of the congregation in it as well. So there's some matters there of interest to the congregation in Armagh. Remember the LTBS calendar for 2024. There's copies of it available at £4 each. The new youth devotional produced by the Mission Board for young people of secondary school age and upwards, produced by 12 of our ministers, dealing with 12 Bible characters, one for each month. The cost is £7, but remember there's a free copy for every young person in the church from secondary school age upwards. The men did give, I think, all of the books out that we have available this morning. If you didn't get one, if you fall into that category, the young people, please put your name on that list there in the porch. And if you're not in that category and you'd like to buy one at the £7 for yourself or somebody else, put your name on the list as well. We are able to get more, but the list will give us an indication just of how many more we need to order at this time. Remember, the proceeds from the purchase of those devotional books go for the home missionaries. It's to buy Bibles to help the home missionaries in their evangelistic labours. There's also a few more copies of the Reverend Foster's booklet on God's purpose for Gaza. Price just 40p if you're interested in learning just a little more of what the Bible has to say on that subject that is so relevant at this time. The Bethany Church is having their monthly youth rally tonight at 8:45. Mrs. Marina Briggs is speaking on the role of a wife and mother on the mission field. The singer is Miss Joanna McCammon from the Tandragee Church, and there's some hot food and fellowship that is served for the young people after the meeting. The Cookstown Church is having ministry meetings this week up until the Thursday night of the week. The moderator, the Reverend Murray, will be speaking from 1 Corinthians 13 on the subject of Christian charity. Remember the new book being published by the SJT to mark Dr. Douglas's 90th birthday, The Land and the Book, God's Future Dealings with Israel. There's going to be a special launch of that book on Thursday night, the 30th of November at 7:30 down in Lisburn on the SJT's new property there. Dr. Douglas will talk a little about Israel just as part of the launch that evening, and he'll also be available to sign copies of the new book. Remember, you need tickets to go to the launch. The tickets are free. The purpose of them is just to give some indication for seating and catering arrangements. If you would like tickets for that evening, let me know as soon as you can. Remember those that have been bereaved, especially Jim Cross and the loss of his brother, also Wallace's cousin, that's Jim's brother, Charlie. We're praying they will know the comfort of the Lord. And remember those that are unwell, particularly keep in mind our brother Peter Gorman, who has been quite ill during the past week. And we're very thankful for the news both yesterday and today that Peter is doing much better. Prayer's been answered, and he's known the strengthening hand of the Lord to be upon him. We're going to sing just some verses together of 227, just before we come to the Word of God. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming Jesus is passing this way. Verses 1, 2, and 4, please. We'll leave out the third. Hymn 227, and we'll stand together to sing.
Today, Mary.
Just think of those words, the great mercy it is that the Lord is passing this way, that he's speaking to your heart, that you've still an opportunity to be saved and to be right with God. And the burden of our hearts tonight is to urge you to press into the kingdom of God and be saved while you have that opportunity. We're going to pray together. We'll take a moment just to seek the Lord's face. Heavenly Father, we pray for the touch of God upon the remainder of this meeting. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll bring us on to higher ground tonight. We pray that you'll bring us from the ordinary into the extraordinary, from the natural even to the supernatural. We're praying, Father, that this meeting will not just be the going through the routine of a gospel service. Our desire, Father, is that it might be a meeting and a time when God draws near, when the Lord comes and speaks, when the Spirit of God works, when men and women, even young people, tremble under the preaching of thy word, under conviction of sin. But we're praying, Father, that you'll be merciful, that you'll continue to pass this way, that you'll continue to call the lost to thyself. And we want to pray, Father, in this service this evening, that there will be brands that are snatched from the burning. Those that are very near a lost eternity, it may please thee, Father, to rescue them and bring them to thyself in salvation. Hear these are Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, please. I'm going to ask you to open the Word of God. Just to remind you, there's a few more copies of the Reverend McIntyre's book on the Williamite Revolution. We did have those a few weeks ago. All the copies we had were taken. There was an interest in some more, so there are a few more copies of that booklet in the porch as well. And they're priced at £1 each. Our text tonight is verses 31 and 32 of Matthew chapter 12. The scriptures tell us in that place, "Wherefore I say unto you," these are the words of the Saviour, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, and neither in the world to come. Our subject tonight in the Gospel meeting is the solemn, the sobering theme of the unpardonable sin. Let me emphasize to you at the beginning, in meetings such as this, we preach about the forgiveness of sin. We preach that good news, the glorious tidings of pardon for sinners. Pardon for sinners of the deepest dye. Remember the prophet Micah said, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" Our God, men and women, is preeminently a God of pardon. So we preach the forgiveness of sins, but I emphasize to you this evening there is a sin for which there is no pardon, and there is a sin for which there is no forgiveness. We also preach in gospel meetings and gospel missions like this about the mercy of God and how great, men and women, how great is God's mercy. Those lovely words we're all familiar with in Psalm 23, "Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life." That's true of everyone in this gospel service tonight. The psalmist has much to say about the mercy of God. He also declares that it endureth forever. But men and women, we stress to you, there is a sin for which there is no mercy. So how solemn, how serious, how fearful that truth, that fact is. I want you to be in no doubt tonight that what we're speaking of is something that is real. It is very real. It's not something that's imaginary. It's not something that is made up. I want you to be gripped from the very beginning of this meeting of the reality of this subject of the unpardonable sin. This passage teaches us, it's an example of the fact that the Lord Jesus himself preached upon this very solemn subject. He taught upon it during his earthly ministry. He sounded clearly, powerfully, unmistakably the warning of the possibility of committing the unpardonable sin. And so should we. We ought to follow in our preaching in the example set by our Saviour. The unpardonable sin. We do well to consider it, men and women. We do well to study it. The reality is that there are some here, some listening to this message tonight, and you are in danger, in grave danger, of committing the unpardonable sin. And we want to impress that great truth, that great reality upon your heart tonight. There's some questions about the unpardonable sin we're going to consider. We'll give the question, and with the Lord's help, we'll give the answer to that question from the Word of God. The first question this evening is, how many sins are unpardonable? Ponder that just for a moment. The answer, men and women, is there's just one. There are not many, there's not a whole host, there's not a whole list of unpardonable sins. There is only one. I stress to you that this is a fearful passage of Scripture that we have read from and are studying tonight, and yet it gives great hope. It is a passage that is filled with great encouragement for those that are still out of Christ, those who are still not saved. If you think of the words of verse 31, it says, all manner, notice the extent of it, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. So I want you to know, men and women, tonight, there is only one unpardonable sin, and all other sins can be pardoned. All other sins can be forgiven. I emphasize to you tonight that murder, our land has been stained with many murders. Well, murder can be forgiven. Think of Saul of Tarsus. He says, I persecuted this way unto the death. Saul was a man whose hands were stained with blood. His hands were stained with the blood of God's people. He had persecuted them even to death. He had murdered, put to death some of the dear saints of God in the New Testament church. One of the most prominent of those that Saul had put to death was Stephen. What a choice young servant of the Lord he was. Remember, he kept the garments of those that were stoning Stephen to death. I want you to think even of the death of the Savior. The Bible says, ye with wicked hands have crucified and slain. You think of how Stephen described the death of the Lord Jesus in that great sermon that he preached before the Jewish leaders just before he was put to death. He said, ye have been the betrayers and murderers. Stephen didn't hesitate, didn't hold back in describing the death of Christ as murder, put to death in such a way by the hands of the Jewish leaders. But I remind you, men and women, as you think of Saul and those Jewish leaders, Saul of Tarsus was converted. Saul of Tarsus was pardoned and forgiven for his sin, for all of his sins. The Jewish leaders, many of those Jewish leaders who were there at the time of the crucifixion, many of those were saved. Many of the Jewish priests, the book of Acts tells that a great number of the priests believed. So murder can be forgiven. The sin of adultery can also be forgiven. Remember the examples of the Word of God. Think of the example in John 8 of the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to that woman on that occasion? He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Think of those words, condemn thee. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That dear woman left Christ that day, a converted woman, saved. No condemnation. She had come to Christ and her sin, including her adultery, had been forgiven. Remember the woman at Sychar's well. The Bible says, or the Lord Jesus said to her, "Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband." What an immoral woman, an adulterer over and over and over again. But that day at the well, she came to Christ. She trusted him, and she became a great trophy of grace. Dr. Torrey tells the story of a young man in his Bible class in the church there in Chicago that he pastored for some time. There's a young man that was deeply troubled. After the class, he spoke to him. He said to him, Why do you not come to Christ? He says, "I would like to, but I can't." He asked him, "Why can you not come to Christ?" And he thought he had committed the unpardonable sin because of how he had lived, because of some of the things that he had done. He described his sin to Mr. Torrey that day. He was a married man. He had been engaged in immorality. He went into all the details. He said, "Because of my sin, I cannot be saved." Mr. Torrey said to him, "I don't in any way minimize your sin, but," he says, "there's still grace, there's still salvation for you." That young man was deeply troubled about that because he believed that when he was a young boy growing up, his mother had read to them a verse from the Bible, a verse that said if you were an adulterer that you could not be saved. Torrey said there's no such verse. The young man was sure there was. Torrey said, "I racked my brains that day to think of what verse he was referring to, and then it came to him." He says it's these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the verses that say, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." When Torrey read those words, the young man said, "That's it. Those are the verses that I remember my mother reading. It says there that if you're an adulterer, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot be saved." Mr. Torrey says, "Listen, let me read to you the next verse. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." It's another example, men and women, of ripping a verse out of its context, and then the verse can be made to teach something that is not the clear teaching of the Word of God. But ye are washed, even the adulterers, and there's some very gross immoral sins that are described in those verses, and every one of them can be washed away in the Savior's precious blood. Adultery can be forgiven. So too can idolatry. It's a wicked sin. For the sin of idolatry, the Jews were cast out of their land. You remember Manasseh, the son of King Hezekiah? He led Jerusalem and the Jews and Judah to do worse than the heathen. He led them into extreme idolatry. But remember that as an old man, at the end of his days, God in mercy humbled Manasseh and he saved him and he forgave him of all his sins, even his sin of idolatry and leading the people of the land into idolatry at that time. So idolatry can be forgiven. So too can robbery, men and women. Many examples. Let me just highlight for you that glorious example of the thief on the cross. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Let me say to you, men and women, as we think of all of these things, these sins that we've highlighted, we're not making light of any of them. I want you to be assured of that. Every one of them is serious. Every one of them is grievous in the sight of God. But I want you to know tonight, if you have committed any of these sins, that there is hope for you, There is hope for your soul in the light of eternity, because the Saviour has said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. You'd be in no doubt as you sit in the gospel meeting tonight, all of those sins have, and every one of them can still be forgiven if you repent and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. So I stress to you, there is only one unpardonable sin. The second question then in the light of that is, what is the unpardonable sin? If it's not murder, if it's not adultery or idolatry, if it's not robbery, what is the unpardonable sin? Well, notice the words of verse 31 of the passage. Notice where it speaks, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. The unpardonable sin, men and women, is the willful, persistent, deliberate resisting of the Spirit of God as He speaks, as He works in your heart, as He strives upon your heart. It is the willful, persistent, deliberate resisting of the Spirit of God until you make your final rejection of the Savior. And then there is no hope for you, no hope for your soul. Then you cannot be pardoned. Today, as you sit in this meeting, it may be that you are troubled about your sin. Thank the Lord for that. It may be in the meeting this evening you feel the weight of your guilt. You're anxious about your soul and where it will be in eternity. Maybe you're trembling. It may not be evident outwardly, but in your heart, inwardly, you're trembling under conviction of sin. You ask, why is that? What is happening in my life at this time? Let me tell you what's happening. The Spirit of God is at work. The Spirit of God is speaking. The Holy Ghost is striving on your heart. And the warning is this, men and women, be careful. Be very careful how you respond to the working of the Spirit in your life. Remember, Stephen said to those Jewish leaders, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. We learn there in that statement of Stephen's that men and women can. Men and women have. Men and women do resist the striving, the working of the Holy Ghost. I know not how it takes place, men and women. We sang those words, I know not how the Spirit works, convincing men of sin. I know not how that happens. I do not know how. I cannot explain how a mortal man or woman or young person can resist the Almighty Spirit of God. But the Bible says, the Bible teaches that it does happen. It is something that takes place in gospel meetings as such as this. And my job, my responsibility tonight is to warn you very clearly, lest you do it, lest you resist the Spirit of God to the very damning of your soul, lest you resist the strivings of the Spirit of the Lord until God withdraw the Holy Ghost from you and leave you without hope and you commit the unpardonable sin. There's a third question that's very relevant. That's the question, who commits the unpardonable sin? I answer, emphasize, it's a very special group of people. It is those who have been blessed, those who have had great light and privileges, those who know the Word of God. They know the gospel, perhaps knowing the gospel from their very childhood, their earliest days. Those that commit this sin are not in darkness. They're not in ignorance as far as the things of God are concerned. They've often been in gospel meetings. They've often heard the gospel preached. They've often been told the way to heaven. They know the need of their heart, the need of their soul. They know the way of salvation. They know God's plan of salvation. The Spirit of God is often challenged, often convicted, often striven upon their heart. But they're still not saved. Aaron Burr, he was the third vice president of the United States of America when he was an old man nearing the end of his days, his granddaughter came to Christ. She'd gone to a gospel meeting. God had spoken to her heart. She received Christ as her Savior. When she came home from that meeting, she testified, confessed Christ, as the Bible exhorts us to do. She told her grandfather what had happened in the gospel meeting. And she said, "Granda, it would be great if you became a Christian too." He said, "Dear, that is not possible. Many years ago, when I was a young man, I came out of a gospel meeting. God had been speaking to me for quite some time, striving on my heart. I came out of that meeting. It was a dark night, star-filled sky." He said, "I looked up to the heavens, looked up to the stars and beyond, and he said, I said, 'God, if you will not trouble me any further, any longer, if you'll never trouble me again, then I will never trouble you again.'" He resisted the strivings of the Spirit of God, committed the unpardonable sin. God never spoke with him, never moved upon his heart again. Another part of that testimony is that those meetings were in Princeton University at that time. There was a revival taking place. Many were being saved. And at that time, whenever Aaron Burr was being troubled, he went to see the president of the university. He wasn't a very spiritual man. He told the president what was happening in his life, how he was troubled, deeply troubled, and he asked his advice. And the president foolishly told him, he said, "I would wait. I would put it off. I wouldn't be in any hurry." He said, "I would wait till all this commotion of the revival dies down. And then," he says, "I would give time to consider and to think about the things of God." How foolish, men and women, that was. So I want you to see it's a special group of people that commits the unpardonable sin. And I wonder tonight, is this a description of you? Somebody in the gospel meeting, greatly blessed in the things of God. Like the people in Capernaum where the Lord Jesus preached during his earthly ministry, the Bible says they were exalted to heaven, exalted up to heaven with privileges and with blessings. And maybe that's true of you. Remember the description given in verses 4 to 6 of Hebrews chapter 6? It's not saved and lost that's been spoken of there. It's those that have committed the unpardonable sin. Maybe it's a description of you. You've been enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, been a partaker of the Holy Ghost, tasted of the good word of God, and of the power of the world to come. In other words, you've been blessed abundantly. You've been privileged beyond description. You've been given every opportunity to be saved, every opportunity to repent. But you're still not saved, still not right with God. I warn you tonight, men and women, if that is you, you are in danger, serious danger, of committing this sin. And we plead with you to be careful that you do not commit the unpardonable sin. A fourth question: why is this sin unpardonable? If God is a God of mercy, if God is a God of pardon, if there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from all sin, then why, men and women, can this sin not be forgiven? Well, there's a simple reason for that. Let me give it to you. It's because it refuses to be forgiven. The person that commits the unpardonable sin refuses forgiveness, and they refuse pardon. It's not that God cannot forgive, and it's not that there's no power in the blood of Christ, but it's because the person refuses that forgiveness, and they refuse to be cleansed. Let me give you an example of that. Another example from American history, the presidents of the United States. Way back in 1830, Andrew Jackson at that time was the president of the United States. Andrew Jackson's family hailed from just outside Carrickfergusson, County Antrim. But whenever Andrew Jackson was president of the United States, there was a criminal at that time called George Wilson. He had been convicted of the crimes of robbery and murder. Under the law at that time, he was sentenced to death. His family pleaded for him, pleaded to the very president himself, pleaded that George Wilson would be given a pardon for his crimes. Whenever President Jackson considered the case, he gave him clemency. He gave him the pardon that his family so desired. But you know the strange thing? George Wilson refused it. He refused to take the pardon of the president. It put the country in a great dilemma. He said that even though the pardon was given, that because he didn't accept it, the pardon could not be implemented. It had to be considered by the Supreme Court of the United States at that time, and the Chief Justice, summing up the deliberations of all the justices, said that even though pardon had been presented, if that pardon was refused, it was no pardon at all. The crimes of George Wilson were unpardonable. Why? Well, because he refused it. He refused to be pardoned. Pardon was provided. Pardon was offered freely. It was offered by the highest authority in the land. But George Wilson would not take it. He would not accept it. And it's the same men and women in the gospel. Let me assure you tonight, pardon for you has been provided. That pardon is offered. It is offered widely, universally, offered freely tonight. That pardon is offered completely for all who will turn from their sins and come to Christ for salvation. That pardon is offered to you tonight in this gospel service. But if you refuse that forgiveness, if you refuse to be forgiven, if you refuse to be pardoned, until that pardon, men and women, is withdrawn, then that is the unpardonable sin. God cannot forgive, just as it was in the United States nearly 200 years ago. God cannot forgive if you won't accept the forgiveness. How foolish, men and women. It beggars belief, doesn't it? How foolish to refuse forgiveness. And to refuse forgiveness so many times. You just ponder that tonight. How many gospel meetings like this have you sat in? How many gospel missions have you attended? The invitation of the gospel presented to you so clearly, so powerfully. And how many times have you rejected it? How many times have you refused God's forgiveness? And yet many do. Multitudes across the land, multitudes across the earth. And I wonder tonight, will you be among them? Refuse God's pardon until the Holy Ghost withdraws and that pardon is withdrawn from you. The final question, men and women, a very relevant one to close with. Have I committed the unpardonable sin? There are many people that fear that. In fact, there are many people that torment themselves with that question. Some people torment themselves and have tormented themselves with that question for many years, for a good part of their life. You may fear tonight that you have committed the unpardonable sin. There might be a dread in your heart and soul as you sit in this meeting. Maybe you're terrified, horrified at the thought that you have already committed this sin for which there is no pardon. Let me say to you, men and women, that the answer to that is no, you have not. You have not. You say, how do I know? How can I say tonight so confidently you've not committed this sin? Well, for this reason, listen to me carefully. One symptom of the unpardonable sin, those that have committed it, is they have no concern, none whatsoever. They have no fear, no fear about their soul, no fear of God, no fear of what eternity will bring. There's no anxiety over spiritual matters in their life whatsoever. So if you are troubled tonight, as you sit in this meeting, and we thank God for that, if you are worried, if you're afraid, if you're in great agony of heart and soul, what that shows, what that reveals, men and women, is you have not committed the unpardonable sin. There is still hope for you and for your soul. It reveals that the Spirit of God is still at work. Jesus is passing this way. God is still speaking. The Spirit is still working. There's still time for you to be saved, for you to turn to Christ for salvation. It's a lovely book about Dr. Paisley's ministry that you can buy. It's entitled As Our Heads Are Bowed. Those of you that heard Dr. Paisley preach, especially in gospel meetings, gospel missions, when he brought his gospel meetings to a close and he was just about to make a gospel appeal, plead with sinners to come to Christ, that's how he would introduce the appeal. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, as we're in prayer before the Lord. And that's the title of that book. It tells the story or stories of some notable people, some great conversions that took place under his gospel preaching, especially in the early years of his ministry. Chapter 4 of that book tells a story of a young lady that was in the old Ravenhill Church way back in the late 1950s, came to one of the gospel meetings. She was very well dressed, but she was in great agony. In fact, the lady that counseled her that night when she came into the inquiry room was Eileen Emily Castles, who later became Mrs. Eileen Paisley. Mrs. Paisley turned 92 just on Thursday past of this week. She counseled that young lady. She could see she was deeply distressed. She was weeping bitterly. Had to be patient with the young woman. A young woman just in her late teens. When she actually got to the point where she was ready to tell the story, she told that night that 4 months before she'd had a baby and she was still unmarried. Because of the things that were been said and suggested to her at that time, she thought that she could never be saved. She thought that she had committed the unpardonable sin. Remember, in the warning in the message this morning, be careful what you say. You need to be very careful what you say to unsaved people as well. Don't be foolish. You can say things to people that get them to a point of a great dilemma in their lives because of something that they have heard that maybe isn't true, maybe isn't truth, maybe isn't scriptural. Because of things people had said, she thought she could never have been saved. And what Mrs. Paisley told her that night as she counseled with her, the young lady looked up and said, "Are you trying to tell me that I can still be saved?" She said, "Yes, I am." And that night, that young lady, before she left the old Ravenhill Church, she became a child of God and experienced the forgiveness of all her sins. And I want to emphasize that message to you tonight, men and women, as I close. If you're troubled in this meeting, if you're worried, if you're anxious, if you're convicted, if you're in great agony about your sin and great agony about eternity, we want you to know you can still be saved. You can still come to Christ. There's still pardon. There's still forgiveness for you. You need to confess that sin. You need to repent of it. And then you need to come and you need to receive Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. The unpardonable sin. How sobering, men and women. How sobering the message on this great subject is. Let me emphasize to you as we come near a close tonight, if you do not want to commit the unpardonable sin, then here's what you need to do. You need to get saved. And you need to get saved now without any further delay while there's still time and while there is still opportunity for you. There is a time, we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. To cross that line, it is to die. To die as if by stealth. It doesn't quench the beaming eye or pale the glow of health. The conscience may be still at ease, the spirit light and gay. And that which pleases still may please, and fears be thrust away. But on the forehead God has set indelibly a mark, unseen by man, for man as yet is blind and in the dark. But angels see that fatal sign and shudder at the sight. Devils trace that livid line and tremble with delight. Yet the doomed man's path below, like Eden may have bloomed, he did not, does not, and will not know or think that he is doomed. He thinks, he feels that all is well, and every fear is calmed. He lives, he dies, he wakes in hell, not only doomed, but damned. You think of that line. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path over the deadline. There is such a thing, men and women, as the last invitation, such a thing as the last opportunity for a person to be saved and to be right with God. And I emphasize to you again, if you do not want to commit the unpardonable sin and be sure of hell as if you're already there, regardless of how long you live after this gospel meeting tonight, then you need to be saved, be in no doubt of that. And you must be saved, you need to be saved, before you leave the gospel service tonight. 232 is our closing hymn. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. You think of the words of the final verse. We'll just sing 1 and 4. O sinner, God's patience may weary some day and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance you've drifted away over the deadline at last. So 232, verses 1 and 4 will stand to sing, please. Father, we want to commit each one in this meeting into your hands. as we go from thy house. We want to thank you for the meeting, for the word of God. We praise thee, Father, for all that you've revealed to us and taught us in the scriptures. We thank you for the clear and powerful warning of the word of God to our hearts tonight. Lord, we're asking the mercy you'll speak, in mercy you'll strive on. We plead that there'll be none in the service that will step over that deadline tonight. We pray, Father, there might be none in this meeting and in our families that at some other point in their life would step over that deadline too. Oh God, our cry tonight is that you will draw the lost to Christ. We pray that you'll save in this meeting this evening. Our prayer is, Father, unite our family circles. We ask that not one of them would be lost, not one of them would perish. We pray that the family circle will not be broken by and by. Lord, hear our prayers. We acknowledge tonight that salvation is of the Lord, that we cannot create even the anxious thought. We cannot cause concern or fear in the heart of a sinner. It's only the work of the Spirit of God. And Lord, we ask thee to do that great work, even in this gathering now. So go with us. Be with us through the night, through the week. We ask that we'll live to your glory. And we want to pray, Father, visit this church and visit our land again with revival. And now we pray, spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease. And until at our Father's loved abode, our souls will arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.